You're both black belts, so what a great testimonial she is. One of her kids is one of our assistant instructors at 15, and so her job is, I give her the list each day of what she has to do in marketing, and her goal is to hit a certain number. We have to have a certain number of leads, we have to have a certain number of appointments, a certain number of enrollments, and that's all based on her doing her job that I'm lining out for. Now, I have to point her in the right direction. I have to talk to her on a daily basis to see what she did. Because if you leave people out there to do that and you don't follow up on it, it doesn't get done. But when they know you're checking with them, then they're going to go do these things. So every day, how successful is your marketing going to be if every day somebody's out there doing all of this stuff that needs to be done during the daytime? Now, that's our external marketing. Then we have an internal marketing that we do during business hours that has to be done at the school. So you're actually marketing all the time, because we're either marketing for new enrollments or we're marketing for what? Upgrades. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but I'd much rather have a renewal than an enrollment. But we can't have a renewal without an enrollment. We know that an enrollment is worth around $3,000, whereas an upgrade, one person, is worth around $15,000 to $20,000. A family is worth about $40,000. So how important is a family?
By the way, aside, does that number boggle anybody's mind?
Yes, it does.
So you got to get over that, right? You got to get over that, because if you're fishing in the right pond, bringing quality people in, is there's no reason they won't pay $500 a month. Extrapolate that out to, they're going to be with you to black belt, second degree black belt. How much does that end up being, right? So if it's $300 a month, $3,600 a year for 5 years, what's that, $18,000, right? I mean, it's not hard to get to those numbers, and it's not hard to get the ones who renew to be very valuable. The ones that don't renew, it's harder. And again, go back to Penny's question earlier. We've followed the numbers. In fact, we got into an argument at one of the meetings about 3 meetings ago. But I follow the numbers extensively. Once we get somebody renewed, the dropout rate goes to about 1/3 of 1%, where it was 4 or 5% before. So
you've seen it in your school.
Yes.
You know, that family of 3 and 4. One of the things that I had a little trouble when I first joined forces with Master Oliver and started doing exactly everything he was doing, exactly the way we were doing.
Converting a dinosaur.
You know, number one was rotating curriculum, please. You know, I was stuck on that traditional style of, you know, you have to teach a green belt stuff and a blue belt stuff. And so it took me a while, even though I had seen a lot of my friends
It took you 2 years to want to understand it.
Well, you know, it's the old expression, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And then I decided that it wasn't broke, but there's a better way.
Would you ever go back?
No. You know, once I did it, I heard people tell me that, you know, once you do it, you won't go back. But once you do, you won't. You'll be glad you did it quickly. But the real key there is, if you have your students going through the cycles of the upgrade, and you've got one student, you know, you get a family of two. And in Master Oliver's schools, if two people sign up, the rest of the family is free. And I could never comprehend that. And I was going, well, you know, then we got five people. Well, the advantage of five people is now those two people are paying $5.95 a month for a family plan for two people. So five people, they pay. Do the math quick. Five people pay.
Well, you said the rest are free, right?
Say it again.
$5.95 a month.
Hey, now instead of $5.95 for two, which now they're figuring I got to pay $300 a month, the families are easy to upgrade. So all we got to do is get them on that basic program, get two in there. Then we tell when we go to upgrade them, Mom and Dad, you're free anyway.
And now we're on a massive tangent, so let's try to hone us back into our direction here. The marketing principle, by the way, and we're really going to try to stay on improved value, but get a flood of people in. And the mission is 100 new people in 6 weeks when you go back, right? So the principle, by the way, here is an awful lot of schools, most schools, do a horrible job of family add-ons as well, right? And in targeting the kids market, we find that between 50 and 60% of the kids, we can get one or both parents in the class. And of those, it's about 80% moms, okay? Now, you can't do that with mom comes Tuesday, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Billy comes Monday, Wednesday at 6:15, and Susie, the younger sister, comes in Wednesday, Friday at 5. See, because your biggest objection of all of your students who are properly qualified, you've got to write this down because it's important. The biggest objection you have, enrollment or renewal, is not money. It's time. The biggest problem in U.S., Australia, New Zealand, well, a lot of sheep tenders still, but we'll pass it on to Grant.
Nothing to do there.
But the biggest problem is they're busy. And especially if you draw them from much of a radius, a lot of your areas have a lot of traffic, right? So mom is not going to sit in traffic 6 days a week so that she and the two kids can come to class. But if they all come down together, you're fine. And imagine if you go from on average enrolling one person in the family to on average having three people in the family, what a difference that makes in elevating it. And again, the thing that we're very focused on is whether we have one or two kids, we want mom to be in there with them, right? Again, 80% of the decision is mom. If mom is in class with the kids, are the kids going to drop out? No. Are they going to be easy to renew? Yes. So it's a very important consideration. And again, you know, we've got more female school owners is probably represented in the industry as a whole, although it's changing dramatically. But for all the guys, most of your marketing is to women. And so don't assume that you've got the deal down, right? Is you've got to realize that for the kids you're marketing to mom, for the adult women you're marketing to the women, even for some of the guys you're marketing to the wife or girlfriend as well as to him. So you've got to get good at that. If you look at major companies like Kia or Cadillac, that's been their turnaround. Is all the car companies were dominated by men who were in their 60s. And they were marketing to men like them and falling flat on their face. Cadillac got a young gal in there as the head of marketing who's doing a fabulous job marketing Cadillacs to women because that's who was making the buying decision anyway, right? By the way, there's only one car of the Pantheon where the woman has essentially 0% input. Do you know what that is statistically by the studies?
Porsche
911. It's 100% a male decision, almost 100%. I just because I've driven a bunch of Porsches, I think it's entertaining. What's that?
That's what happened to Hummers.
Yeah.
They were all male dominated, then the women and
oh yeah, down and absolutely. But anyway, let's go back to direct mail here because it is something you've got to get really good at. My guess is hardly anybody in the room is doing a good job at it. Is that a fair assumption? Okay. So the way you get good at it, in part, is you get comfortable with spending a lot more money per lead than you're comfortable with now or that you're comfortable with even after I walk you through the numbers rationally. Emotionally, you've got to get detached from being freaked out about that. Does that make sense? Yeah. And overall, from a standpoint of improving your net profit, and most of the big schools, when I've looked at your P&Ls, fit in this category. Just about everybody in this industry make these mistakes. They spend too much money on rent, which, by the way, if you got rent like, if you got a location like Chris over here where he's next to the Costco and they come flooding in, that's marketing expense. Okay, that's okay. But most people spend too much money on rent in part because we all want to build a Taj Mahal for ourselves, right? So we end up with this big elaborate facility that isn't facilitating what we want to accomplish. Again, if you're next to Chuck E. Cheese, money well spent probably. If you're next to Costco, money well spent probably. But if it's not creating a flow of traffic, it's just square footage, right? And again, one of the most profitable schools I've ever seen was in the basement underneath the coffee shop. Literally, you walked in the hallway to go to the coffee shop, and there was a door over there, and you went in the basement. And he had it's Kaffner. He had 8,000 square feet, but it was cheap rent. And the results was his marketing. The second thing that most big schools make a mistake of is they have too many people on payroll,
yes,
and too few good ones. So you end up with a whole bunch of dunces running around, and I don't mean that too harshly. You end up with a whole bunch of really skilled martial artists who aren't out beating the bushes for new students, aren't great at making the sale, and perhaps aren't even the superstar instructor that everybody gravitates to, right?
Yeah, you have to have.
You don't need to turn it off to sleep.
I was waiting for the red light to turn green.
Okay.
You need to have the staff that are generating growth. The problem is most schools have staff that think their job is just to teach the class. And they're not selling the program in the class. You have to realize that just like a first intro is selling the program. We don't sell the program from the office to get them to sign up. Everything is done in the first or second class, and at worst case scenario, the third class. They're already sold when they walk in. We've just got to show them what kind of payment plan they want to do it on. That has to be the thing. Well, that's the same process with the enrollment, with the renewal or the upgrade. So if your staff that you have out there are not facilitating that and they're not targeting those people that you want to upgrade, then they're just teaching classes. And that's worth just an hourly job. That's not worth anybody getting a base salary or commission or anything like that.
So someone like me, I've only been over a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Where do I get staff? I mean, my highest ranking belt is 9 years old.
Right.
It's like, I know I have someone to develop, but...
Well, it's a more expansive topic that we can go over tomorrow. But an awful lot of what we're talking about doesn't need to be a martial artist, right? And so he talked about we used to have... we had several in series, none of whom had taken a day of martial arts class in their life, as I recall.
Tell Carol's story.
We could tell her story too. But one of them I had hired from a major textbook publisher. His job had been to go into middle schools and high schools and sell the parents on this elaborate series of books and videos. And I hired him straight from them and put him into handling for 6 locations. We had about 20 elementary schools per location that we were working on, plus maybe 5 middle schools. So we had 25 schools per location times 6, and his job was only and exclusively 40 hours a week to work with the elementary schools, and he would rotate in a 6-week cycle between our locations. So a lot of those kind of roles, marketing person, salesperson, and so forth, you don't need that. The others, obviously, should be developing from within. And again, it's a longer topic that we get to tomorrow. We can do it on a teleconference. But you can do an accelerated training process to ramp up instructors as well. We, for years when we needed it, were running a 6-week accelerated training program where we could ramp up instructors in 6 weeks rather than in 5 or 6 years. So, and I can walk you through that. Fred, you did quite a bit of that.
Yes, it's in training zone.
Exactly.
We did like 3 months, about 4 hours a day of training.
Yeah, it always annoyed me because we went to that educational funding company convention and I created the idea and you got the damn award. Aww. Because I was not politically correct enough.
Right.
Is that it? Okay.
You did it better.
So, I have a question about that.
We can argue about that, but it's irrelevant. Yes.
Do you charge them for that program?
Let's get into that tomorrow, if at all.
The
answer is yes, no, and maybe. There are several different tracks you can run on something like that and do that. The Carol story, you mean finding the guy? Did he work out?
Well, not so far.
Not so far.
He didn't come when he had an appointment in.
Okay.
And it turns out he's homeless. But, so what? But, he might come.
Yeah.
That's the story.
So we won't tell that story.
Or mission, or how you structure something like that when they're not in your school?
Let's do that on a break or something.
Okay.
Or
when they're not in your school to be a volunteer?
Right.
Yeah. You pay them. You pay them. We'll move this to tomorrow.
We're trying to keep on the marketing topic since...
Wait,
Yeah. And I'm the worst at getting off topic.
No. Yeah, but no kidding. But bringing it in. All that is easily solved.
I'm not sure what to label this state. You guys have any idea?
Mass marketing?
No. The inside joke is, we have, when we took over the company, we had a video library that's probably from like where those walls are across the room, thousands of hours of stuff, right? And if you then go through the library, which is part of the reason I wanted to purchase the company from Century, you go through the library. In most general terms, the video library from a business standpoint, marketing, sales, high-level business stuff, was mostly between crap and total crap. On the other hand, the library from the standpoint of high-level martial artists teaching high-level martial arts stuff was a lot of great stuff, right? A lot of good teaching stuff. And so from the standpoint of us, top 1% or top 5% looking at the video content, it was kind of like, let's just set a fire to all that stuff and give up, right? Is that a fair statement, Toby?
Yeah, yeah.
Slightly, probably understated. But now we have hundreds of hours of like me and him. And Toby and Merrick are the ones who are going through the raw footage going, what the hell was that topic? Because he did 10 minutes on this, then went over here, and it's 15 minutes on here. And he's at the behind the scenes going, well, I got a transcript. Do I cut it into three pieces and make it 10 shorts? Or do I, like, make up a topic and hope that they figure it out when they watch it?
Because if somebody has a question, they want
that's completely off topic and unrelated to direct mail.
You hate to cut them off, but... We can at least keep them in topic.
But so.
And we got at least when they raise their hand once in a while, when they've had it for a long time, and they have. Do you have to go to the bathroom? You have a question.
Yep. But let's.
Go ahead.
Imago. Yeah,
was number three of the big mistakes they're not spending enough on marketing?
Well, yes, but I didn't finish number two actually. Number two is, which is how we got off on all this stuff.
That's it. Thanks for bringing us back on topic.
Number two is, which how we got off on this stuff, is having too much headcount of too many technical martial arts types and too few really good people who are getting compensated highly. See, if you have somebody who's a gym, their retention is fabulous, their renewal rate is fabulous on the floor, or they're out beating the bushes all the time and you're drinking from a fire hose, they should be making a lot of money. They should be making, plus or minus 20% any other opportunity. I'd rather be 20% better than the other opportunity. Because, again, I mean, you're lucky if you keep them for a couple years anyway, much less you're trying to do the old stupid martial arts thing of getting them to volunteer and do it because they like you and they love the thing. Because that really doesn't last very long, right? So they should be making plus or minus their other opportunities. On the other hand, if they know your moves and the forms and they can teach the choke or the kick and stuff, well, that's not very, not hard, and it's not a very valuable position. So that's number two, is having too many people who aren't very good. The MMA change in the industry that's been detrimental is people going back to the fitness center model, and now they got 10 part-time instructors. And all of a sudden, you have all these people running around who aren't getting 4 or 5 hours a week of staff training, who aren't held accountable for retention rates and renewal rates, who could give a rat's ass what the gross is of the school. And that's just death, right? In your case, that you got a whole bunch of dance instructors could care less, but they come in and they teach their little pirouette and stuff and think that that's the deal, right? Crystal has the same problem. All these different Muay Thai guys, and they're real tough, rough, and nasty and so forth, but none of them are held accountable for the thing. And in many cases, they're making $200,000 a year doing something else in there as a hobby. You can't build a real business around that, right? So in the fitness model is you'd have 22 aerobics classes. I used to manage fitness center. 22 aerobics classes, doesn't matter, is you have 10 different instructors and everybody comes to Susie's class and nobody comes to John's class, and you try to replace John and get another one. But in our model, that just doesn't work very well because the value per student is not high if they're not accountable for retention and renewals and so forth. The third thing is underspending a market, and you're exactly right. We're down to up to number three, and the main thing about that is, you want to not be thinking about you're trying to rifle shot or you're trying to, you know, get on a megaphone and get people to pay attention in the cacophony of the daily life. What you're looking for is somebody who's raised their hand a little bit, who's expressed some level of interest. Then you do massive effort to get them pulled in. And you can go through with direct mail to do lead gen. We're going to do for NAPNA. I mean, the industry is 15,000 schools. We're going to rake across the industry again with lead generation stuff just to get them to raise their hand. On the other hand, we have about 1,600 schools that have raised their hand a little bit. We're going to spend 20 times per person on those than we will on the others. One group we're willing to spend $1.50. The other we're willing to spend $28, right? I mean, that gives you a sense, right? So mostly you want to be constantly looking for people who have expressed a little bit of an interest. And being part of an affinity group is a great start. Three of three other girls in my Girl Scout troop are in there already. Easy to get Susie to come join, you know, the other two girls. A bunch of my third grade class are in there already. It's easy to get her to come in and do that because she's already going to feel comfortable. So the more you can look at affinity groups, once you get them a little bit interested, spend a lot of time and effort on them, you're much better off, right? And I hate to say it this way, I mean, because like I'm the guru of copywriting and all this stuff for the industry, but really it's more about saturation bombing than it is about everything being perfect. Because you're never going to craft exactly the right message for each and every one of them. But if you stay in front of them a lot, either with like big full-color postcards that gets their attention, or bank bag, priority mail, squirt gun, stuff like that, that is really a big chunk of the battle. Yes?
That's kind of what my question has to do with. When we're designing the website, we have three different options on these pages, and then we distinguish this flow after those based on, you know, whether they're interested in the kids or the fitness or whatever the program is. Do you guys do the same thing with your direct mail? Do you just think, like, somebody contacts you about kids' classes?
Yes. Yes.
Good point.
Yes. Good point. I guess I didn't say that, but absolutely. Once you know who and what they are, right? Is so if you have women looking for a fitness class, you only want to be showing them that stuff. And you know, I've heard people make the opposite excuse. Well, I put the cardio kickboxing and the kids picture and this and that because she has a husband might be interested in this. She has kids. No, whatever they raise their hand that they're interested in, I want to focus only on that. Now I find that Susie's a 35-year-old mom who has a 4-year-old. I'll work to get the 4-year-old in, or vice versa. I get the child in, I'll work to get mom added on. But all of the follow-up should be rifle shot, right? Now I've seen some people try to make it be I'm targeting 4-year-olds, I'm targeting 6-year-olds, I'm targeting 9-year-olds. That may be too much. Because what happens if you make it complicated, you don't do anything, right? And arguably, you can automate some of the complication, but really, you want to rifle shot down to the major subgroups and get out to them a lot. And by the way, an easy way to automate direct mail is to put it in a rotating curriculum. Now, here's what I mean by that, is you have 4 months' worth of pieces, let's say twice a month. So you have 8 things. So you do, in September, you do this piece, then this piece, October, you do this piece, and you just keep rotating it through and then start over. And you don't worry about when the lead came in. If they're getting a piece of mail in October, they get this, and everybody in the lead, what some people do is they try to get too analytic and say, well, I'm doing this sequential autoresponder thing with email. They get number 1, number 2, number 3. I'm going to do the same thing with direct mail. And as soon as you do that, you pull your hair out and you do nothing. Okay? Don't do that. Just make it simple. Everybody in the lead database who's a kid is going to get this piece this month. Everybody who's an adult male looking for this thing gets this piece. And make it as simple as humanly possible.
Now, that's all. Maybe the other way to say all of that,
yeah,
is that the website is just another email. It's, yeah, the exact same strategy. It's the same strategy as the website. Same strategy.
Yeah, don't miss that. There's no damn difference. Back when I did that like extraordinary marketing program, At some point or another, the file of the original letter got lost that I had really sweat blood to write, and you know, had done all the, you know, the trauma about putting it together. It was like really the first time that I had spent a lot of time on that other than like karate lessons. Somewhere along the line, the file got lost, you know? There was a flood on the hard drive and it got crashed or something like that. So what I started doing is just printing off the web page and mailing them the printout of the web page. It worked just as well, if not a little bit better. It just didn't make any difference, right? The only difference between a website and a physical delivery is just getting in front of them in a slightly different way, right? See, you can say, well, I don't need to do snail mail anymore because online video is great and I can drive them to an online video. Unless you can't get them to click the link. And now I mail them a DVD. Can I get them to watch the DVD? And like we have an introductory package, it's pretty elaborate, but it's, let's say, 40 pages of color printed material, an audio CD, and a DVD. And I've heard some feedback. Tim Kovar's comment when he saw it is, well, it's awfully redundant. And my comment was, is that's exactly the way it was designed. You know why? In my family, what would happen would be, if it was for my 10-year-old daughter, she's now 11, she would run home and watch the DVD with mom. There's no way on heaven or earth you'd ever get me to sit down for 45 minutes and watch the DVD. If it doesn't have bikini babes, helicopters, and a lot of people die, $100,000 production value, I'm not watching it. Okay? So you're not going to get me to watch a sales pitch on video. However, the CD, I'll put it in a CD player and drive around town and listen to it. You would never get my 11-year-old and her mom to listen to that. They've got Disney Channel on in the car, and they're going to be listening to Disney Channel. No way they're going to listen to talking in the car. You would get mom to read through the booklet. You'd get me to read through the booklet. So if you have that package and you just delivered a DVD, I'm never going to watch it. So part of the reason you do multiple media is to hit different learning styles and different personality styles. Part of the reason you make it redundant is so that you get the message across whatever piece of it I do. The other part of it is if you send me a link to an MP3, even though I'd be willing to pull it out and put the thing in my car, I'm not going to download it to my iPhone, hook my iPhone up, and play the iPhone in the car, because I'm just not going to go to that much effort, right? You're not going to get me to do that. So the MP3 link on the website right now doesn't replace an audio CD, even though most music now is shifting to it being online download. Does that make sense? A web video, you might get me to watch that before a DVD, but it doesn't replace mailing a DVD, because a whole lot of people won't watch it online, right? And again, my daughter, she wouldn't watch the video online, but she would put the DVD player into the DVD player in her elaborate TV in a room and would watch it, and then she'd hook mom in and they'd sit down and watch it together, right? So you've got to be aware of all those dynamics before going to the cheap and easy source.
One of the reasons why I started doing text messaging. You know, so many people use that media now. You know, with the iPhones and all the other phones people are doing, it's got video on it. So on your, when you send them a text message, they can actually see a live video and they see your actual, your commercial. I mean, you put whatever commercial you want on it. And
you can put a YouTube link, yeah.
Yeah, you just link it right into one of your ads. And it's the same thing when you get an info call at the school. You're not just going to talk to them about kids, or you're not going to talk to them about adults, or you're going to find out why. And that's the same thing that your lead information that you have should have already defined for you, so you know where to put them. And it's the same thing when you're doing an info call. You can't have one generic info call. You have to find out exactly why they want, and then that's what you've got to emphasize on the call and the purpose for getting them in.
Yeah, but to reemphasize a minute ago, if you had 10 hours of testimonials on the little camera that cost $200, you can now do a rough edit down to a real nice hour. Now that real nice hour, you pull the audio track off and you've got a CD. You do hard cuts together, nothing elaborate, and you've got a DVD. You do a transcription of it. In fact, I do a transcription of all 10 hours. But you do a transcription of it. You've got a package that you can give people in writing. Now you've got the same content is on the website in video. the same content can be on the website in audio, although there's not a lot of argument for that. Mostly you put it up on video, right? The same content can be up and written, so you can be page after page after page on your website of testimonials. The best example of that is, or at least it used to be, was EAS. If you look at when Bill Phillips ran EAS, and it was located just a few blocks from here, is what did you see? If you opened his book, it was the entire liner was testimonials. You opened any of the product, it was all testimonials. It was all before and after photos. If you went to their website, it was thousands upon thousands upon thousands of testimonials. That's because really that's what works, right? Have you guys seen the Blue Blocker sunglass commercials? I don't think he's been running it for a while, but Silverman was the direct response marketer. He created the company that was before Sharper Image and all that stuff. And then he did the sunglasses. And their infomercial and their short form spots were literally a camera crew walking down the street, and he would grab somebody, put on the glasses, and say, "What do you think?" And they go, "Oh, wow, you know, this is so cool. I would never have thought," right? And then they say, "Well, how much do you think they are?" "Oh, these must be, what, $250, $300? "No, for now, you can get them for $24, right? I mean, that was the entire commercial is walking. It was one of the most successful commercials in history. I mean, they did millions of dollars of cheap sunglasses imported from Taiwan strictly based upon that. So that's the thing that you want to put it all together. But anyway, so go back to direct mail. Think in terms generally of there's a couple of different things that you can put in the mail. One thing that you can put in the mail at the high end is send it by FedEx, and the guy walks it up in the truck and has them sign for it. For a normal, like, consumer, get a new student in, normally I wouldn't go to that extent. I might do a fake express mail envelope, or I might put in a priority mail envelope, which is about $5 to mail. But
the priority local is next day.
Yeah.
It's all next day. Yeah.
Well, and for the average consumer, a big priority mail envelope and a FedEx isn't much different, right?
Yes. Same thing with the upgrade information.
Oh, absolutely. Even more so, right? I mean,
we have a special ninja delivery.
No, seriously. He's not joking.
And we have a video of it, and we play that to school, too. We have one of our junior instructors. She's 13, and she has a full ninja.
He's not joking.
Leotard ninja thing, and she brings this gift basket up to the front door, rings the doorbell, and then runs off. But strategically enough, so they open the door and they see her going off, and then we video it while she's going up there, and it has the DVD for the black belt upgrade. It has a T-shirt. It has a water, our Mile High water bottle. It has, you know, little gifts like popcorn, so they can eat the popcorn.
They've got the DVD. DVD of a liter of soda, popcorn, and it says "Make a Family Night." Watch the
and
DVD.
We used to do soda, but you know, that's kind of
well. That's true. So you
we actually do Gatorade now.
Because well, you got to do what the red one that's sugar free or whatever.
We do two. Yeah, we do two different. We do a depending on if it's a family, we'll have two of each things in there. If it's for a family, then of two. If there's a family of three, then there's three of each thing in the gift basket.
And by the way, he's not joking.
No, I mean,
right? I mean, and you know, Carol. I mean, when she walked in, we said before. She walked in, they had just written a $25,000 contract, $8,000 down payment.
Did we find that video for you to show you?
Oh, you never saw
that
conference?
They were pulling it up to show you because we have it on video there. It's so funny.
But what was it, $500 a month?
$595 a month.
Yeah, $595 a month with $8,000 down. Now, for $8,000 down and $597 a month, were you willing to do a few things like that? Oh, yeah. And if you were enrolling consistently 20 students a month and were renewing 87% of them, in other words, you're renewing 17, 18 of them a month.
And by the way, that wasn't a one-day renewal. It wasn't like we just walked to them. You know, you've been recommended for black belt, and we want to talk to you about the black. Do you have a minute? Come on in. Let me give you the prices. No. We have, you know, our intro, if it takes two or three lessons to sign them up on an intro, then it's going to take anywhere from 5 to 10 special sessions that we do. The way we structure it out to get them up to that level, but now we got a soft track against them.
Yeah, but that's the question he asked: is do you do this kind of direct mail to an upgrade prospect? Absolutely,
exactly.
But I mean, when we do a renewal blitz, and what I mean by that is like the new people who come in to Inner Circle and Peak Performers, as you know, if I've got and I'm going to beat Mike Ferraria till he's deaf and dumb if he doesn't get going on this. Well, he's got a good excuse. His grandmother is undergoing her third back surgery. She's, you know, it's touch and go with that kind of major surgery. He has a real good reason for not being here. So, but he's got 135 people he can renew. Of the 135 people he can renew, worst case, he should get 65 or 70 of them. And he hasn't launched, which like drives me crazy, because anytime somebody leaves $250,000 on the table, when it's like that easy, it's like me yelling at your guys, right? It just drives me crazy. But
that's how we changed December from, it used to always be the worst month till, 25, 30 mm-hmm. years ago, I changed it into the best month every year. Yeah.
But in a renewal list, let's take 6 weeks. I will mail to them three times a week. And some of the packages will be 100 pages of testimonials. It'll be all of the essays from the last Black Belt test with pictures of everybody. It'll be, you know, so stuff like that. I mean, like, you know, they'll get like this big package, and then 2 days later they get another big package, and another days later they get another big package, and all the same stuff. We've got the big package I'm handing to every parent who's sitting on the benches and telling them to read it while they're sitting on the bench, and then we'll pull them together and do his ninja thing with the DVD. That's a new innovation, but see, I mean, when the value is high enough, you can do all kinds of stuff to get their attention, right?
Just to get parents involved, I'm just thinking of sending them a gi.
Oh, Jonathan is doing he's got like a little miniature gi that has their school logo and it's in the right color. Who was the supplier on that? Do you remember? Century. Was it Century? He has a little, you know, like a miniature blue top with a little, you know, embroidered logo that, you know, shows up in a package with a little presentation, like we do the blue top. Here's your blue top. Now come in and talk about getting one that will actually fit better. I'm dead serious, right? So, yeah, all of this stuff is even more so, right? It's even also more so in reactivation, right? See, so...
Because everybody forgets about marketing. You know, if you're going to market for a new student to come in to spend... you know, $2,000 to $3,000, why would you not market heavily, I mean, even more heavily for somebody to spend $20,000 to $30,000?
Well, and once they're in the program and they faded away, why wouldn't you spend the same amount of effort to get them back? And I've heard people say, well, I wouldn't do that for paid in full because I don't want to, like, you know, be in front of them and have them ask for a refund or something. No. That's the wrong way of thinking. What I want to do is I want to go off the ledge doing everything, including show up at their doorstep and knock at their doorstep, to get them back in class, right? Because, one, if they paid in full, I mean, I've got not moral obligation to get them to Black Belt, right? If they're paying monthly, they're not going to keep paying for very long if they're not coming to class. Either way, I want to get them back in class. And the stuff I showed you, the example I was using, was summer reactivation. Kids been gone to grandmother's for a month and hasn't been in, you know, mail them the big thing with the squirt gun in it, and mail them the boomerang thing, and then mail them the, you know, the magnifying, we've been looking for you, and then mail them the, you know, the plastic bugs, hate to bug you. I mean, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's all cute and humorous and nutsy, but it's cute and humorous and nutsy that gets their attention, right? I mean, you can send them a big formal, it looks like it's from a law firm, and it's, you know, squared off on both sides in this formal language. Nobody's going to read that, right? But this stuff, they go, holy crap, what's that, right? You know, even better, you know, have the squirt gun with water in it, and have it plastic laminated pages, and it's leaking out of the envelope. I mean, right? I mean, think about that, right?
Well, if they aren't sold on the program, if you didn't get them... to see the value, I mean, the real value of your program, nobody's going to put down $8,000. And you saw that contract, you know, and why would they put $8,000 down? Because they're going to do it. And they might. And when they put more down, we give them a little break on the price. You know, people like to save money. And if they've got money sitting in an account, drawing a 0.5% interest or 1%, you know, why not if they can save some money? I have some school owners that tell me, well, I don't like I just like to do monthly payments. I don't like to get any paid in fulls. And that was because when I used to work with one of the guys in the industry,
It's not in a billing company's best interest to not be collecting their percentage. But anyway, back to
billing company if they don't have anybody to bill.
Back to our subject matter. And the paid in full will benefit you in an inverse correlation to your retention, but in almost all cases, if it's a 6 month or 12 month paid in full, it doesn't do you much good because in almost all cases you're gonna have them there that long anyway. But if it's a 36-month, 48-month, 72-months, you got to look at your legalities. But a lot of times we do paid in fulls to second-degree black belt. So then, one, it keeps them longer because they don't ever drop out because of financial reasons. And two is, on average, compared to not doing that, we get generate a lot more revenue. Going back to direct mail, so same thing is true for reactivation. Same thing is true for renewals. And the thing is you've got to get wildly creative on this stuff. Now, none of it costs much money. See, that's the thing I want you to anchor in, right? I can, you know, when I sent them a big priority mail envelope with a plastic squirt gun, it was the postage that cost me the most money, right? I mean, priority mail envelope, that's $5. Yeah, the squirt gun was 49 cents, I think. You can go through Oriental Trading and come up with all kinds of stuff, and including, by the way, promoting a buddy day. So let's say that I have a special theme and it's Olympics buddy day. Well, you can buy cheap Olympic-looking medals and all kinds of things that are themed that way. It's July 4th. You can come up with all kinds of things. Well, that's what Oriental Trading is fabulous for. You can come up with all kinds of things like that. We have other suppliers that can come up with all this stuff that you can actually use as the envelope. That's crazy.
We get a lot of stuff at Dollar Tree and Party Store or Party City.
Yeah. You know what? I bought at Dollar Tree. You know, although dragging me in there is a nightmare. But I was drug into the dollar store, and they had stickers for $1 a sheet that were Disney stickers, and they also had Army stickers that were $1 a sheet. So for $1, you got like 20 stickers. Since we're all going to Disney in October, now you're going to get the envelope with the Mickey sticker. That's a dimensional sticker on the outside of the envelope that cost me 22 a sheet, a dollar a sheet, a nickel a piece for the sticker. But nobody's going to ignore the envelope with the dimensional Mickey or Goofy on the envelope, right? Who in here at one time or another got the Mrs. Fields cookie basket from me? See, if you went to one of those little regional seminars we did with YK Kim, and it looked like from your information sheet you had a pulse, right? Now, what I mean by that is anybody who is grossing less than usually $15,000 a month, or anybody who just couldn't put together an articulate sentence, I didn't spend $50 on cookies for them. But if they had a decent gross, or like in your case, you know, you're in transition, but he's going to set the world afire once he gets going, right? So I look at it, he's got a good background, entrepreneurial, one thing or another. So you got cookies, right? Oh, good, see?
Now, you guys that didn't get cookies, don't be offended.
Don't be offended, you know, just means you didn't have a pulse. Who in here got a money tree? Anybody get a money tree? You got a money tree. Does that get your attention? It's like, what the hell is this damn thing, right?
How come I got a skeleton?
Hasn't bloomed? It hasn't started drawing.
How come I got a skeleton?
Oh, you got the little skeleton. That's from Oriental Trading. You know what he's talking about? In Oriental Trading, on different holidays, they have invitations, and one of them was a coffin where you fold together the coffin. And I had my daughter doing that, right? So I've got my 11-year-old. Paying her like $4 an hour, she was bitching about it, folding together these coffins. And what you could do is you could put a sticker in the coffin, and it's a little square box. They cost like maybe $1 a piece. So it's a little coffin with a little like plastic skeleton in it. And then you open the coffin, and there's a sticker on there, and the sticker said, you know, right damn now, go to the website. But see, it gets your attention, right? And so something like that, imagine you're going to do a big Halloween party.
So that was for the ones who didn't quite qualify for cookies.
I thought that meant I was dead.
You didn't get cookies after Philadelphia?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there he's bitching. He's bitching. The other group didn't get cookies.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, yeah. The other guys didn't get cookies. In fact, they probably got to know, please don't ever freaking contact us again about anything. You know, here's the deal. Imagine you go to a seminar and you have a doctor and his wife who only want to fight with you on everything for the entire time. They want to pay you money to sit there and argue every point. Exaggeration?
No. No exaggeration.
Every point. And here was the scenario. So, you know, for a while, it's sitting down. There's four or five of us. But somebody else in here was there, right? In the Philly, little Philly seminar? No? But we're sitting there. These guys are doing, at the time, $3 million a year. And the other ones were doing $120 a year, right? And the other ones were arguing every point, and he kept whacking his son, saying, take better notes. And where the hell is the recorder? And so the guys who are doing $3 million a year are hanging on every word, and the other yo-yos were arguing every point. Luckily, Toby was with me, and I said during the thing, not too diplomatically, I said, take these assholes in the other room and get them out of my fucking hair. And so
they just go
into the mat. Yeah. I kept them. But
we had a private session for like 4 hours.
Yeah, I said never Philly again, for God's sake.
It must be about the Philly cheesesteaks or something.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing to have somebody who goes, well, I'm not quite convinced. Somebody else who like is belligerently both broke and arguing about every point.
Back on point.
Anyway, so but all of that stuff is relevant because, you know, get on the Oriental Trading list and get the stuff all the time, and then walk through the dollar store and the party store and look. The party stores are great because, like, you know, there's all the Spider-Man stuff and there's the superhero stuff and there's, you know, all of that kind of thing. So you can walk through, and that's where we got the squirt guns. Oh, we also mailed out little trophies. Does anybody get the little trophy in the mail? No? Okay. So we had like the high dollar schools that got a little trophy, and the headline. Yeah, so all you broke guys.
Yeah. You got a trophy? Their seminar's next week here.
Yeah, what? Oh, yeah. The trophy had a medal on it. Yeah, that was from the party store. And those were like 60 cents a piece. So it's a priority mail envelope with a trophy and a medal on it. And it said, as you may notice, I sent you a trophy in the mail. That's because you're already a winner, but, right? And then it went on into more or less like that, right? Probably didn't use the word but, you know, I'm saying this because I know you're already a winner, however, you know. But is that making sense? And see, the, you know, I've sat around with three or four or five of the quote-unquote marketing gurus in the industry, and one of them said, well, only Oliver can get direct mail to work. It's not that. It's that they're just not willing to be outrageous enough or inventive enough or entertaining enough to get it to work, right?
Or invest enough.
Or that's exactly right.
I've heard schools actually complain that the postage was too high to send out that many direct mail pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
yes, sir.
Well, for 8 years, I've been off and on with that.
Yeah.
The last 3 years, you nailed me with all that kind of stuff. And I always said I can't afford it.
Right.
That was when I was thinking it was a lot less.
Yeah.
And I finally said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm not even asking for prices. When you called me up, you know, to get my...
He was saying he can't afford it to $99 a month.
and then he told me the price, and I'm like, holy crap, how am I going to afford that? But I did, you know, and I made the money back the first month and 7 times that.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, well, it's, you know, $13.97 a month. And he goes, $13.97? No.
But you know, sometimes you got to spend money to make money, and that's where most of the martial artists are so damn cheap, they're never going to make any money.
Well, and all of this stuff, it's about return on investment. See, the amount you spend is irrelevant. If you spend $1,000 to get $5,000, you spend $500 to get $4,000. If you have that ratio, that's giving you back a 5-to-1 or a 10-to-1 or a 20-to-1. And see, there's no place else you can put the money. I mean, you can take all the quick turn real estate gurus, and they're not getting a 500% return on your investment. It's the only place where you can go out there and spend $500 and almost immediately, because see, the way we're working the upgrades and everything, really it's the first 90 days. And my internal metric is I'm looking to make the down payment big enough that I self-liquidate the marketing when they write the first check or give the credit card, right?
I think that's how you determined how much the down payment were on those programs.
Yeah, yeah.
On how much you were spending.
Yeah, yeah.
So you recouped that initial investment that time.
Yeah.
That time.
Well, the other thing that people just don't get is again, I've said it many times, I was more or less like the kid born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I was broke, but I was raised in the Junior Institute and trained by this guy, both on how to fight, which I was duck a lot, but also how to run a business. And when I started in Denver, this is 30 years ago next year, my initial pricing was $330 down on a new enrollment. Extrapolate that out on the inflation, and that's about $900 now.
Well, most schools were doing 150 or 100, or some of them just say, pay your first month's tuition.
Yeah. I initially was doing 330 down, 75 a month. And you extrapolate that out, that's the equivalent of now almost $1,000 down and about 200 a month, right? So, I mean, that was 30 years ago. And what happened is we got too crowded. I had 2,400 square feet that had 600 active students. And when I started ratcheting up the price, what happened is the activity and the closing ratios went up, right? So I had an economics background. I thought, well, there's price elasticity to demand. If the price is higher, demand will be lower. It didn't work that way. And there's a great book by Cialdini called Influence, Science, and Practice. He explains in the first paragraph of the book. He says, absent other criteria, price determines perception of value. What he doesn't add, but I've discovered, is everybody we interact with wants the best, assuming they can work into the budget. So they're not looking for the best value. They're looking for the best. And then, if they can't afford it, they go to second option, right? So in our industry, they're always looking for the best, and if you price yourself like you're not the best, then you have a problem with perception and everything else. Does that make sense? Okay, so other questions about direct mail, not staffing, hiring, compensation systems, but other questions about direct mail or how it ties into internet marketing.
How long do they stay in? Until they opt out, or 12-month cycle, or just...
Well, until they die or threaten us with death if we mail to them again.
you never get anybody complaining about direct mail. They don't say, you're sending me too much. Because, you know, we all get it from...
Oh, I've had it.
You did?
Oh, yeah. You know, and by the way, the objection that school owners will have about the renewables thing I try to get them to do is they say, why am I going to do all this stuff with our students? That's going to piss them off, right? I've had Mrs. Jones, you know, 10 different people at least, come in with a stack of crap that I mail to them and say, enough. Here's how the conversation usually goes. I'm sitting here every class. I've heard the message 12 times. You handed me all this stuff physically. Why did you kill so many trees to mail me all this stuff? Mm-hmm. It's a real simple answer. Mrs. Jones, do me a favor, because you're the exception. And let me point out something. Look around the class on the average day when Billy's in class. How many of the other parents are here the entire class listening in rapt attention like you are? How many of them do you think opened the first envelope that we sent them? How many of them do you think read the package? And most of the stuff we gave out in class went in Billy's bag. They went and jumped in the SUV, went off and never saw it. What would you guess the ratio is? Well, don't most of them pay attention to this? No. The fact is, Mrs. Jones, you're in the top 5%, therefore you paid attention to everything. High five. That's why you're the first one in the thing, also, because you're very engaged. However, the bottom 50%, we have to hit them over the head 22 times, and frankly, in 3 months when the price has gone up by 25%, I'm going to have 20% of the students who are mad at me because I didn't tell them. Even though, as you know, we sent them 32 pieces of direct mail, we told them in class 92 times, and we called them, I mean, right? So it's an easy explanation in that case. On all his follow-up pieces, by the way, email, you always have an opt-in link or an opt-out link. So now if you're using, whether it's AWeber or Infusion or whatever, you know, Constant Contact, they all give them an opportunity to opt out, right? With text messaging, the automated services all have an opt-out link. So you can hit it or, you know, text backstop or hit the link and then you're not going to get any more, right? With broadcast voicemail, you also are required to have that, so the services have a press 8 to be opted out of the deal. With direct mail, technically there's a do not mail, that the Direct Marketing Association will keep a list. And reality is we just leave them on the list forever. One is it's one in a thousand get pissed off, and frankly, that same one in a thousand are going to get pissed off no matter what. So it's now what's their excuse, right? I mean, it's like your student body. You have 1 or 2% of your student body who are going to be mad no matter what you do, right? If you radically improve the program, they're mad because something changed. Again, my friend Keith Hafner, I was talking to him one time, and we were doing a bunch of stuff, and I was lamenting and feeling sorry for myself and said, oh my God, we're doing all these improvements. I got like 5% who are up in arms and mad because we're doing all this stuff. I said, just people don't like change. And what Keith said to me was, he goes, I think you're wrong about that. I said, what do you mean, Keith? He goes, that's not it. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, 5% are looking for a reason to be mad. And that's the excuse du jour, right? So we're afraid to go through and renew them all because some people are going to drop out because you're renewing them all. But then if you look at the numbers in retrospect, it was still 5% that month. That was just the excuse they used this month, right? So it's all about numbers. If you know the numbers and understand the ratios, there's always going to be that ratio, right? And as he said, like if we go in and do a gym teacher for the day type of thing, we won't beat them to death on outbound telemarketing because that's what they complain about. But we will beat them to death on direct mail because nobody complains about stuff they get in the mail, right? They're used to getting 3 Victoria's Secrets catalogs a week. They're used to getting beat to death. I mean, hell, if you're on Oriental Trading's list, you know, I get 4 catalogs a month from them. So I get the business catalog and the holiday catalog and the educator catalog. I mean, you know, so and they're used to that.
If you do the gym teacher for the day and you offer any of the kids there, if they stop by the school and take a trial program free, you give them a free uniform. How many are those kids want to come to the school? Well, you know, you have to spend a little bit. You know, you have 100 kids that might drop by the school and pick up a uniform and take a class. That's going to be, it's going to cost you. I've actually had school owners, well, I had so many come by, those uniforms cost me, you know, I had to spend $1,000 for those uniforms.
$12 a uniform.
And I said, wait a minute. You mean you're complaining because you got 100 people coming in the school? I said, you only need one person to sign up, and you made $2,500, and you only spent $1,000. Oh, you know, and sometimes you just have to explain that to everybody.
Your batteries are dead. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Right? Yes, sir.
I got another direct marketing question.
Go ahead.
This would be the inappropriate forum for that, sir.
Yes. Could you stay on topic?
Yeah, what the hell, get you back on topic?
Should have been here last week.
We were learning something.
who in here has heard my voicemail on my phone? You know, my new voicemail is going to be, I don't like to talk to human beings, just text me. I give up on email. My voicemail basically says I don't use email, don't use voicemail, don't leave a message. It's amazing how people are like, what? You know, and the IQ test is how many people leave a voicemail on the voicemail that says I don't use voicemail. But go ahead.
I think, I don't know, the 4 or 5 years we've had our studio, sort of how it is right now, I've got something like 7,000 or 8,000 contacts,
yeah,
people that I could send stuff to. Obviously, I'm not going to do all of this, I think, for all of them.
I'll tell you what you should do with all of them. What you should do with all of them is essentially take that list and do lead gen on the list to get them to raise their hand a little bit again. And then once they raise their hand a little bit again, then you can go through all of this stuff, right?
What did you say, lead gen?
Lead generation. What I mean by that is, and we'll talk about more tomorrow, but one of the things that I'm going to do to the entire industry is basically 8-page letter in an envelope with a stamp, but it's a bulk mail, and then a looks like it's handwritten, legal size piece of paper folded, and then it looks like it's a newspaper tear sheet and it's folded down the envelope with a post-it note. And the cost of that is, I think, 47 cents, 49 cents, and 67 cents, right? So now you aggregate that and you're at $1.60. So you might be willing to put 10,000 into following up with those guys. Or you can do, you know, get members, or Greg can do color postcards. And so you could do, and I always do sequences, right? So I might take 7,000 and do 40 cents a postcard bulk mail, do it 3 times. And now I'm at $1.20. Less effective than I think the other thing, but still I can rake through the entire list and get them to raise their hand. And then once they raise their hand, you either immediately get them in for an appointment or you put them in the other follow-up sequence, right? And the most of the way to raise their hand is give them a big free offer gift. Okay? And so, you know, a big bonus free offer for going to the website. I mean, our version of that for NAPNA is it's the free video, it's a free copy of the book, it's the free one-on-one consulting. Your version of that could be the free parenting book, the free, you know, I mean, it can be all that stuff. But it's just to get them to raise their hand. And then once you get, so let's say you rake through it. Let's say we get 10%. Now you got 700 to work with. And now the 700 to work with, you go on, add them at that if you don't get them into the school right away.
Anybody ever registered for a free giveaway? Anything free? You know, whether it's a car or whatever?
Sure. I mean, let's do this.
The reason for that is now they've got your contact information. They're going to use it or sell it. They make these lists.
Everybody stand up for a second because we're getting a little low energy here. Take a 2 or 3 minute restroom break if you need to, because I don't really want to wet my pants in front of the entire audience. And but we're going to, again, and we're going to wrap at 6:30 for right now, so we have about 35 minutes. Is that it? Okay, stand up. Here, you can leave.
$1 store. This is Carol.
Stop.